Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of PPL Electric, I'd like to welcome everyone to today's video information webcast for the PPL Electric's Time of Use RFP. This is the May 2019 solicitation, and presenting with me is Mr. Jim Rowland from PPL Electric. I'll start with two housekeeping items. The first is to alert you to the fact that you may ask your questions throughout this webcast at any point in time. To ask your questions, simply locate the Q&A on the right side of the screen. Select all panelists in the ask box, type in your questions, reference any slide numbers, and click send to submit your questions. All presentation materials, including this presentation, as well as any Q&As that come out of this call, will be posted to the procurement website. The website address is provided here for your convenience. It is www.pplvsp.com. And the last housekeeping item I have is to note for you one disclaimer, which is that this TOU RFP is a procurement process that has been approved by the Commission and has been litigated by the company through the PUC proceedings. So they will include governing documents of the RFP rules, the SMA, as well as the filings and the Commission's order related to the time of use program. The Commission's order is dated May 17, 2018, and it's under docket number P2016-2526627, as well as M2016-2578051 and P-2013-2389572. These are the three relevant docket numbers related to the time of use program. On this presentation, any statements that we make or describe or refer to documents and agreements, they are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to these various documents and agreements. In terms of today's call, we will cover and have a very brief statement about the scope of this presentation. Then I will turn the time to Mr. Rowland to talk about the regulatory background and give you an overview of the TOU program. We will then move to talk about the information release that we will be making today related to the generation portion of the price to compare. We'll talk about the next steps after today related to the TOU RFP process, delve a little bit into the product design, and then close out our call talking about the bidding process and procedures. In terms of the scope of today's presentation, just take note that the TOU RFP is a multi-solicitation process. As approved, at this point, we have four solicitations to be held for the TOU RFP. The May 2019 solicitation is really the first solicitation of a series of four solicitations under the TOU RFP. There will be four that will be held between May of 2019, that is coming up, all the way through November of 2020. The presentation today, in terms of its scope, is focused only on the information specific to the May 2019 solicitation. There are many elements that are common across these four solicitations in this multi-solicitation process. You can find a separate presentation with information that is common to all solicitations on the RFP website. To do that or to find that presentation as well as the additional materials, you can simply go to the website pplvsp.com. Look at the left navigation bar. There should be a link called Time of Use RFP, and beneath that a sublink that says Documents. If you click there at the bottom of the documents page, you should find the bidder information materials. At this time, a presentation that is entitled Time of Use RFP Process and Requirements. And below that, we have also very recently posted a red line of the default service SMA, comparing that to show the incremental changes to make it to become a TOU supplier master agreement. So the red line of the TOU master agreement versus the default service master agreement has been posted for your review and convenience. So at this time, I will turn it over to Mr. Rowland to give us an overview of the TOU program. Mr. Rowland?
Great, thanks, Ben. So I'm going to go through the ins and outs of the TOU program, at least at a high level here. So to begin with, on June of 2017, PPL filed our petition for approval of the TOU program, and this is for the period now through May 31, 2021. And this is really the end, through the end of PPL's default service 4 plan, so the two coincide with each other. That is the basic default service and time of use. On March 13, 2018, we received the joint petition for approval of TOU program, and then on May 17, 2018, the commission order approving the joint petition. February 13th of 2019, we have had our compliance filing for the revised TOU RFP and SMA documents as well as the pro forma tariff. And on April 9th, 2019, we received the Secretariat's letter approving the RFP and the SMA. The pro forma tariff is technically pending final Secretariat's letter issuance to PPL following the last public meeting by the State Commission, but we should receive that any day if we haven't already through our legal means. Additionally, the TOU RFP is separate from the default service RFP. So the TOU RFP is held twice annually after each of the default service RFP proceedings. Just as we're holding this TOU auction, it's immediately following the April basic default service offerings for both residential and small commercial industrial. Now, of specific note, first, TOU is not offered for all customer groups. So the TOU service, it's full requirements load following service, just as our basic default service plan is. And only customers in the residential and small commercial industrial group are eligible. And of those customers, they must affirmatively elect to participate. So no customer will be automatically defaulted into time of use. They must affirmatively elect to participate. That can be done either through our website when they log into their account or by calling PPL Electric's customer contact center. But there are a number of other groups, just to be very specific about who is not eligible. First and foremost, by omission here, we have large commercial and industrial customers. They are not eligible. Within the residential customer group, on-track customers, this is PPL's customer assistance program or CAP program, they are not eligible. Virtual net metering customers are not eligible. That is not to be confused with basic net metering, which is eligible for time of use, just like they are for basic default service. Just the virtual net metering customers are not eligible. And finally, lighting and unmetered GS1 customers, that is within the small commercial industrial group, they are not eligible. Essentially, you must have a meter. One thing I did want to highlight just with regards to any offering that you have is with regards to communication with our customers. So the first and foremost is PPL will be issuing a article through our customer newsletter called Connect. This is issued to all customers that receive a physical bill and is also electronically delivered for those that have an email on file, which if you go the route of an electronic bill, you would have an email. And as such, it typically gives a suite of different information depending on the month. There's different articles about energy efficiency and so on. In the very first Connect newsletter, this is for June into July period, we will have an article about the TOU program, both a high-level overview of the program as well as where to go for more information and how to sign up. Additionally, and ongoing, we will always be updating our webpage. We have nuanced pages that are specifically built for TOU that will become active, I believe it will be over the weekend, June 1st, with the effective start of the program. Essentially, these pages will offer a suite of information. First, it'll offer public information on the rate, the time period, and any general information about how the TOU program from a customer perspective works. If a customer's interested, they're able to sign up online. They'll be taken essentially to a landing page where they can log in and work through a few pages that provide both the terms and conditions of the TOU service. That's the rates and the time periods. And they can then sign up almost instantaneously within a day or so once they elect that service. There will also be a high-level FAQ on this page, again, giving some greater detail into how the program runs and also some information for a customer they're evaluating themselves to determine if they want to participate. Finally, a customer can always call our customer contact center, and customers can enroll that way as well. They can ask questions of our contact center. The contact center reps can and likely will refer them to additional information on the website, but a customer who is interested in the program can enroll at that time as well. It does not have to just be online. Both methods are available. On the next slide, we have the products themselves. So right now we're offering a summer product solicited for both the residential and small commercial industrial groups. There will be separate bids for the two customer groups. That is one set of bids for residential and a second for small commercial industrial. Each product is 6 months in term. That's 6 month supply period. For this current auction, the summer period will be June through November. On peak hours are Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. through 6 p.m. Eastern prevailing time, excluding weekends and PJM holidays. All other hours are deemed off-peak. So anything that is not the 2 to 6 Monday through Friday, excluding holidays, is deemed off-peak. There is also a winter term. This runs December through May. This is not part of this auction. This will be in the November 2019 time period following the October auction or the fall auction. The hours are different for on-peak in this period. They run Monday through Friday as well, but 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern prevailing time, also excluding weekends and holidays. And just as with the summer term, all hours that are not deemed on peak are therefore deemed off peak. Just to repeat though, the summer period is what we're currently bidding on. To give you a quick overview of just the conceptual process for bids, bids set the off peak price. So first, a bid is a percent discount below the generation portion of the PTC. So for instance, the off peak price is the generation portion of the PTC times 1 minus the discount. That discount is what any bidders would be presenting as part of their bid package. On-peak price is a seasonal multiplier times the off-peak price. So for instance, first, based upon bids, we will evaluate and determine the off-peak price and then use that price and multiply it by the seasonal multiplier to get the on-peak price. TOU suppliers are paid first the off-peak price for TOU load during off-peak hours, and then the on-peak price for TOU load during on-peak hours. To be specific, the transaction confirmations, just as in the basic default service, will provide the price, not a percentage valuation. So if an off-peak price was $50, for example, and the on-peak price one was $60, for example, the $50 and $60 respectively would be on the confirm, so that will be clearly mapped out. Wanted to also discuss net excess generation. That is customers who have some form of alternative energy system on their home or business and our net metering customers. First, excess generation. This is energy provided by a net metering customer which exceeds consumption at a customer's premise. In short, they produce more power than they've consumed over a month. Net excess generation is the sum of the excess generation in the month, and we will be measuring this separately for on-peak hours and off-peak hours. According to commission rules, we must compensate customers, these end-use customers, based upon the excess that they have provided by the on- and off-peak periods. So we will be measuring these separately. TOU load is reduced by any net excess generation. Again, to explain, if in a given period, say 1 month, the month of June, excess generation is supplied by customer A, and they are participating in TOU, it will reduce the overall load supply obligation of the supplier, or the sum of what was consumed by customers. This is just the excess generation that was supplied by them. TOU suppliers will pay PPL Electric for any net excess generation that occurs during the on- or off-peak periods at the on- and off-peak price. Now, to be more specific about this, and there are details within the RFP and SMA about these, specifically, I believe, the SMA, the instance of payment literally would occur if the net excess generation exceeds all consumption by customers participating for that period. To give an example, if again in the same period of June, all consuming customers, that is non-net metering, consume 50 megawatt hours, but net metering customers generate 100 excess megawatt hours. The delta is 50 excess megawatt hours provided to the system or to you as a winning supplier, then you as the supplier are obligated to pay PPL Electric for those 50 megawatt hours at the contracted rate, the on-peak and off-peak rate. If, however, during that same period, customers consume 50 megawatt hours, but excess generation is only 25, there is no physical transaction or literal financial transaction between suppliers and PPL for payment of those 25 megawatt hours. They're netted from the total, and PPL would pay for the 25 consumed, the net 25 consumed by customers. In this slide, we're going through a very brief overview of rate translation. It's pretty simplistic, but I wanted to at least communicate that out. So as we've discussed previously, and Ben will discuss in a little bit, there will be a single supplier to serve TOU load for each customer group. That's one for small commercial and one for residential. This results in a direct generation rate translation based upon the bid. There's no blending or proration. So for example, if a winning off-peak bid was $50 per megawatt hour for the TOU residential group, this translates to 5 cents per kilowatt hour off-peak rate for residential TOU. There's no adjustment, proration, or alteration of that. However, as you know, this is part of a total PTC or price to compare equivalent rate. So what's then done to create a PTC equivalent rate is we add the other factors stacked underneath it. E-factor, administrative charge, merchant function charge, transmission service charge, and appropriate taxes, both our STAS as well as gross receipts tax. These are not values paid to you as a supplier. They're either tax requirements that we must pay to the state or the representative authority, or therefore our own recovery, PPL Electric's recovery, E-factor, admin, and so on. You as a supplier will still be paid whatever your bid amounts were, but to create, just as we do for default service, where we take the bids provided by the suppliers, in that case, we blend the rates together based upon the percentage of load, and then we add these factors, so too is done with TOU. That way, both TOU and basic default service rates have the same exact elements, and they're more or less equivalent in concept with one another, just as any retail supplier charge is similar. There's a PTC equivalent rate. Finally, I wanted to review the contingency plan, less because it directly impacts the bid. It's more of an indirect impact, but just to know what happens in various situations. So first, the contingency plan is invoked if an auction fails. First, and that can be for two different reasons, either the PUC rejects a bid or the bids, or there's insufficient participation. We must have at least, for instance, two suppliers make a bid in order to have a competitive bid. The other instance of a contingency plan being enacted is if a winning supplier ends up defaulting under the TOU Supplier Master Agreement during the term of the agreement or contract. In the event of the contingency plan being enacted, TOU load will be included in default service load for the applicable period and served by default service suppliers providing that service. To explain that in even simpler terms, if enacted, the customers on TOU service will essentially be reblended in with basic default service. The suppliers providing service under basic default service will continue to provide the service as they always do and receive payment just as they always do. In aggregate, it would kind of look like a customer goes from shopping and returns back to Polar. Prices work the same way from the supplier interface perspective. The difference is that the rate the customer is paying changes, but that is a risk that PPL must manage through its reconciliation process. On-peak and off-peak rates will be calculated based upon the predetermined multipliers and based upon the generation rate of the PTC during this period. So for instance, the off-peak price is 90% of the generation portion of the PTC. This is actually for both summer and winter periods. So we would take the generation rate, multiply it by 0.9, and that would be the off-peak rate in this case for the summer period if it would be enacted. The seasonal multiplier is the same multiplier used in bids, currently estimated at 162%. So for instance, again, we would take to create the on-peak price, the off-peak price, and multiply it by 1.62. Again, this is then a fixed rate, so it's a derived value, obviously not a bid rate, and it's only used as a contingency. At this point, I'm going to hand it over to Ben to go through the rest of these parameters as well. Ben?
Thank you, Mr. Rowland. For the rest of this presentation, we'll talk more about the practical aspects of your participation in the auction, as well as some key pieces of information that will be relevant to your bids. So as Mr. Rowland has mentioned, there will be a bid that consists of a discount below the generation portion of the price to compare. At this time, we're releasing the generation portion of the price to compare for the 6 months period beginning June 1, 2019 to November 30, 2019. And the generation portion of the PTC for the residential customer group is $51.10 per megawatt hour. For the small commercial and industrial customer group, the generation portion of the PTC is $46.79 per megawatt hour. And as Mr. Rowland has also mentioned, you will bid on the off-peak price, and the way that you bid on your off-peak price is to name a percent discount below the generation portion of the PTC that I have just indicated. That will set the off-peak price, and then the on-peak price is simply a multiplication of the seasonal multiplier and the resulting off-peak price. At this time, we're estimating the seasonal multiplier to get to the on-peak price to be 162% of the off-peak price, or simply 1.62. So as you can see on this slide at the bottom, the on-peak price is simply taking the seasonal multiplier 1.62 times the resulting off-peak price. We will provide you the final confirmation of the seasonal multiplier when we qualify you as a bidder next Monday, May 6th. At this time, we're providing this information as an estimate so that you have a sense of what the numbers look like. In terms of the next steps in the RFP process, after today, where we release the PTC on May 1st, we will qualify bidders that have submitted qualification materials on May 6th, next Monday, and you'll be required after that to provide us the bid assurance collateral and the signed TOU contract by noon on Friday, May 10th. That is the Friday before the bid date of May 14th, it's on a Tuesday. If the auction is successful, we will summarize the results for the PUC on the day after the auction, that's on May 15th, and at that point, the PUC will make its decision to accept or reject the results by May 16th, that's the Thursday. On that same day, it is expected that PPL Electric will provide to each winning supplier the transaction confirms and a signed contract back that is fully executed. You must countersign the transaction confirm once you receive that and no later than 2 p.m. on Monday, May 20th. In terms of the bid assurance collateral and the signed TOU, these are due by that Friday, May 10th, and the requirement is simply for the bid assurance collateral at $75,000 the tranche. Given that there is only one tranche for each product in each customer group, it's basically $75,000 for the residential product and $75,000 for the small CNI product. If you're bidding on both customer groups, then it's simply $150,000 that you need to provide as bid assurance collateral. You can provide that as cash or as a letter of credit. When we qualify you, we'll provide more instructions regarding this information, and you can find the wire transfer instructions as well as the letter of credit form on our website. That's the first requirement on the bid assurance collateral. In terms of the TOU SMA, you have to download the template from the website. You have to fill it out. We'll give you some instructions on how to fill out the TOU SMA when we qualify you next Monday. And then once it is completed by you, signed by an officer, you then have to upload that back into the application website with all information filled in. Once we have received your collateral as well as the signed SMA, you are then eligible to submit a bid. We'll talk about the bid products here first, and then we will turn to the bidding procedure and what a bid form looks like. In terms of the bid products, we are soliciting offers in the residential group and the small commercial and industrial customer group, which comprise mainly of non-residential customers with peak demand of less than 100 kW. This is a 6 months product, also known as a summer product, that begins June 1st, 2019 through November 30th, 2019. Each customer group, we will solicit one supplier that will take 100% of the load of TOU customers in that customer group. As mentioned by Mr. Rowland, there are certain groups that are not eligible to take on TOU service. They include the large CNI customers, the CAT customers on the on-track program, as well as any lighting and unmetered GS1 customers in the small CNI customer group. The service itself that you're providing as a TOU supplier looks no different than what a default service supplier would provide. The difference is really how you're getting paid. In terms of the service itself, it's a full requirements load following service. When we talk about a full requirements service, what it means is that it will include energy, capacity, ancillary services. It will include certain transmission services, except for non-market-based transmission services, and will also have APS obligations or renewable obligations. What is included in a non-market-based transmission service that you're not responsible for would be things like NITS, RTEP, transmission enhancement costs, expansion cost recovery costs, non-firm point-to-point transmission service credits, and generation deactivation charges. You'll find the renewable obligation specified in Exhibit 2 of the SMA, and this is for physical delivery to the PPL residual aggregate load zone. You'll find more about the obligations in the SMA itself. A red line, as I said, is provided online for you to review between the DS obligations and the TOU obligations, and they look almost identical in terms of what we're requiring you to provide. It is a load-following service, which means that you must follow the load of TOU customers, and TOU customers are those that affirmatively elect to be on TOU service, and these customers are free to switch out to TOU, to take TOU from TOU program to take service from an EGS, and if they do return back to PPL service, they will be taking fixed price default service at that time, but will not be defaulted back to TOU program. In terms of the bidding process, the two takeaways here is that there is a bid submission window, and this will take place between 10 a.m. and noon on Tuesday, May 14. You have to submit your spread, your bids using a spreadsheet. That's the first takeaway. The second takeaway is that you must submit your spreadsheets to us using a electronic file transfer system. So in terms of the spreadsheet, there will be two different spreadsheets for each product. Rather, for each product, there will be one spreadsheet, two spreadsheets in total, one for residential product and the other for the small CNI product. There will be these shaded cells in the spreadsheets. And when you see a shaded cell, the basic premise or rule there is that you must fill out those shaded cells. Anything that is left blank will be non-compliant. Once you have completed your spreadsheets that ask for bidder information as well as bid information, you can then submit your spreadsheets to us using this file transfer system, and through that, you will be required to enter a download password for us to be able to download your spreadsheets as you upload them to the website. And more instructions on that will be provided to qualified bidders when we qualify you for this option. In terms of the specific bid information, the only thing that you see in terms of the bid information, and it's sort of shaded a little darker here on this slide to simulate bid information that you have to fill in. As I said before, anything that is shaded in the spreadsheet is a cue to you that you need to fill in that blank. And here, the only information that we are after is the percent discount below the generation portion of the PTC. There are two things that will be fixed in the bid spreadsheet. The first is in the bid form, you'll find the generation portion of the PTC that is fixed. And the second is the multiplier, the seasonal multiplier that converts an off-peak price to an on-peak price will be fixed. And what you will then do is simply to name a discount below the PTC rounded to two decimal places. And this will set your off-peak price. And so as an example here, what you'll be entering for illustrative purposes, the example here is you're entering a percent. In this case, the bidder enters 15.01%. It's a percent up to two decimal places. And the resulting off-peak price is a calculation basically that take the generation portion of the PTC. In this case, as an example, we have set it to $51. You multiply that by 1 minus 15.01%, that gets you to $43.34 per megawatt hour. And that sets the off-peak price. For the on-peak price, You simply take that offered price, multiply that by the seasonal factor, in this case 1.62, to get you to $70.21. So that gets you the on-peak price, and you'll be paid again under the contract the on-peak price for TOU load during the on-peak hours, and you'll be paid the off-peak price for load that you serve during the off-peak hours. And if the collateral that you have provided to us at that point of your bid submission that we received is insufficient to support your bids, then we will simply pick out one of your spreadsheets from consideration. So if you submit for both customer groups and you have only provided bid assurance for one customer group, then we will look at which group has the most competition and start removing your bids from the customer group that has the most competition first. And if it is a tie, we will take the spreadsheet out from any one of the two customer groups at random. And by submitting a spreadsheet to us, you are authorizing us to modify your bid proposal document in this manner. If you face any technical difficulties, please call us at this number, 215-568-0200. You will have a time to practice all aspects of the bid submission procedure, but your bids must be received by us by the deadline of noon on May 14. We will find you an alternative method to get your bids in if you have trouble, and that is one reason why we encourage you to first participate in the bidder training session, but also to submit your bids early. Early meaning at least half an hour before the close of the bid window, so that you have sufficient time to receive the confirmation from us whether we have received your bids or not. In terms of bid evaluation, the bid that is the winning bid is the bid with the greatest discount within a customer group. Bids for the residential customer group and the small CNI customer group will be evaluated separately. Whoever that has the greatest percent discount, up to two decimal places, is what we will consider to be the winning bid. If there are tight bids at the same price or at the same percent discount below the generation portion of the PTC, then we will break the tie by random selection. The resulting off-peak price will be based on the percent discount below the PTC rounded down to the nearest penny. If there are less than two bids that are received from a customer group, and Mr. Roland alluded to this earlier, then under the rules, the results of that customer group will be deemed rejected by the PUC. So for each customer group, we need at least two bidders to submit a bid in order for the winning bid to be recommended for acceptance by the PUC. So that is the key element of the rules. And with that, I will now conclude the presentation portion of this webcast. You may now ask questions. To submit your questions to us, please locate the Q&A on the right side of your screen. Select all panelists in the Ask box. Type in your question and click Send to submit your questions to us. We'll take a minute or so just to look at the questions that have come in. But in the meantime, here are the instructions. Please submit your questions now. Thank you.